ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
You see, it's all about our witness for Him. Our love for Him is seen in the things we do. And we can blend in with the world, or we can shine for Christ. And I think that's one of the things that Christians want to do today. They don't want to, you know, rock the boat. They don't want to tip the boat over, baby, right? I'm almost going to write a song for that. But we want to be just going with the flow. I don't want to say anything that's going to offend people. Have I offended anyone over the years? You don't have to raise your hand, because I probably offended every single one of you by some of the things I've said. That's just the reality. When I'm studying, putting these studies together, there are some things I really don't like. Joe, you need to forgive. Yeah, come on. Really, that person? You know what they did to me? No, you need to forgive. I don't want to. I forgave you all of all your sins. Oh, you're going to pull that card out, aren't you? Okay, you're right, Lord. I'm wrong. Sorry. You see, there are things that God is showing me, and I'm sharing with you. And another point is, some people like to say, it's all under grace. Have you ever heard anyone say that? Oh, yeah, I know I'm wrong, but it's all under grace. It's all covered by the blood. You know what? That's a cop-out, and it's wrong. If the lifestyle you're living is to please your fleshly desires, to give in to every temptation, are you saved? That's something only God knows. But John in 1 John 1, verses 5 through 7, dealt with that. He said, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. God is absolutely holy, absolutely righteous, absolutely pure, and no evil. And John tells us that the message that he's going to share with them is not his personal views or opinions, but this is what the Lord showed him. It's really hard to say you're walking with God when you're continually living in sin. And the Greek word walk is habitually that lifestyle, habitual sin. I mean, we all sin. It's not to say, I mean, that would discourage every one of us if John said, hey, if you have any of that, if you walk in that way, then you're not saved. None of us would be. But he's talking about habitual sin. We still have to deal with the flesh nature. The old man was crucified with Christ, but it doesn't mean the flesh was taken away. Why? Well, I still have it here. This is what I have to deal with every day. And it's corrupt, and it has to be changed, and it will, in the twinkling of an eye, will be caught up to be with the Lord, and these bodies of flesh will be transformed into new bodies. But if we're saying we're walking with God and in an habitual sin, how can that be when we're walking in the opposite direction of God? It doesn't make any sense. You know, think about David, his sin with Bathsheba, killing her husband Uriah, one of David's mighty men. He covered his sin for a whole year before he repented, but there were consequences to his actions. And I know some say, you know, hey, the more I sin, the more God's grace is seen. Well, Paul dealt with that in Romans 6, verses 1 and 2, because he thought, hey, you know, someone's going to come up with that question, and I'm going to answer it, because otherwise they're going to say that, hey, the more I sin, the more there's grace. And he said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? There it is. The more I sin, the more people see God's grace. So, hey, you know, I'm just going to sin and let people see God's grace. He says, certainly not. God forbid. How shall we who died to sin live any longer to it? Sin had you in bondage. Why are you going back to something that had you in bondage? Paul does not want us to be ignorant about this truth, because Christian living is dependent on Christian learning. We need to know how to walk. But then we need to apply that. We need to know what the scriptures have to say, but then apply that to our lives. And the world is watching. Make no mistake about it. You may be at work. You think, oh, man, I can't share Jesus. No one's watching me. Everybody's watching you. If they know you're a Christian, they're going to watch. As the boss comes up to you and chews you out, how you respond to that. As that customer comes up to you and just reams you out for something, you didn't do anything wrong. but they're reaming you out. How do you respond? See, they're watching you, how you respond to situations. And we have to be careful. They love to entice us to sin, don't they? They want us to join with them. I think that's probably one of the big things today that we have to deal with, because sin is abounding today. I mean, think about it. You know, years ago, I just read about this. You used to get pornographic material in the mail in a brown paper wrapping, right? No one knew what was in there until you opened it up. Today, it's even more discreet because you just hop on the internet. You could go anywhere and get anything you want. But I tell you, you open that door and it'll get worse and worse and worse and it'll destroy your life. They know once they hook you, once they get you to look once, they got you. And so praise God for spam folders for me, because you would not believe the things I get from Calvary Chapel, they use our address, that are pornographic sites. And they just want you once. What about cheating on your income tax? Well, you know, it's not their money anyway, it's my money. You know, when they asked Jesus about paying tax, temple tax, what did he tell Peter to do? Peter, go fishing, and he pulls out the money for the tax. He paid for it. Is God big enough to provide for you? Be honest. He'll take care of you. The world loves to entice us to sin to destroy our lives. And this is a big one today, the last one, cause division. Have you ever seen our nation so divided as we do today? I know in the 60s, the civil rights movement, that was bad. I remember being in my house. My parents were afraid that the rioting was going to come out towards them. But I look at today, and there's really not a cause. They're just fighting. Oh, they say it's a cause. You know, like Black Lives Matter. Don't mean to offend anyone, but it's a communist organization. If they really cared about Black lives, why don't they go to Nigeria and help the millions of people that are being killed by black people killing black people? They don't care about that. They care about their cause and money, which they got caught. Millions upon millions of dollars they make. Look at Planned Parenthood. The money that the government gives, or we give, to Planned Parenthood, they're using to support political candidates. How could that be? And so they're dividing us. They're getting us to fight amongst each other. Illegal immigration, transgenderism, homosexuality, the color of our skin, like it really matters. It's shades of color. Do you really think I'm white? No. White is a piece of paper that's white. I'm pretty tan. My wife is pretty pale. That's just the way it is. We're different shades of color. We are all human beings. There's one race, the human race. And so now we get the human race fighting amongst each other for what? The color of our skin? Ridiculous. But they're good at it. Why are they doing it? You divide and you conquer. It's really simple. This is not, I mean, we shouldn't be like, wow, that's amazing. No, they always do that. You divide and you conquer. And if Americans are fighting amongst themselves, guess what? The government implements what they want. It's always for a cause. I'll share this article with you. It's from last year. And it says, it's no secret that we live in a divided nation. The last 9 presidential elections have been decided by single-digit margins, the longest streak in the country's history. No presidential winner has received over 55% of the vote since 1984. And the new president has received less than 52% of the vote in 7 out of the last 8 elections. I do not see that changing anytime soon. But we are not only divided, we are mad about it. And we cannot believe that the other side thinks the way they do. A January 2017 Reuters poll revealed that 1 in 6 Americans had stopped talking to a family member or a close friend because of the 2016 election. Can you imagine that? Not talking. Yes, political division is nothing new in the country. When Andrew Jackson was on his deathbed, he was asked if he had any regrets as he looked back on his life. Any who were expecting words of remorse, sympathy, or kindness would have been surprised by Jackson's purported reply. As the congregational record put it, Old Hickory said he regretted he hadn't shot Henry Clay, the Speaker of the House, and hung John C. Calhoun, his own vice president. Wow! Things were similar for Alexander Hamilton, now best known as the subject of a hit Broadway musical. The politics of his day were so divisive that he was shot and killed in a duel by Aaron Burr, the sitting vice president. And this was only after Hamilton had narrowly avoided a duel with fellow founding father and future president James Madison. But these times are different and our divisions feel deeper. When Jackson's protege, James K. Polk, was elected president, it took almost 10 days for the word of his electoral success to reach him at his home in Tennessee. Today, the president's Twitter account can reach 100 million followers at the push of a send button. Protests and counter-protests can be organized in the time it takes to compose an email or a text. A virtual protest can overwhelm a business or an individual before there is even time to organize a response. Every issue quickly takes on political undertones. A case in point is the COVID-19 pandemic. It did not take long before views on who was responsible for the outbreak and opinions on how to reopen the economy after the shutdown, and even whether or not to wear masks took on strongly partisan tones. Along with our division, and maybe at least partly due to that division, we see a growing concern about the direction of our society. The quality of our discourse continues to decline as people get used to hiding behind the anonymity and safety of the internet. As real community becomes a smaller part of our lives, many of us feel a growing sense of disconnection and decreasing hope for the future. We can see this played out in the rates of marriage and childbirth, two leading indicators of confidence in the future. The current marriage rate, 6.5 unions for every 1,000 people, is the lowest the federal government started keeping statistics right after the Civil War. The fertility rate of 1.7 is also the lowest on record. It takes a rate of 2.1 just to replace the population. And a larger percentage of births are happening outside of marriage. In 2016, estimates showed that about 40% of births in the United States occurred outside of marriage. And on the list of items of cultural concern can go, with the only variable being who is making the list. The lines within the Christian community are as diverse as they are in the rest of the population. In a world where the political discussion has turned mean and contemptuous, the political goal seems to be about keeping power rather than solving problems. Christians have frequently acted as mean and contemptuous as everyone else. Many Christians wonder if it's even possible to still have a faithful presence in the public debate. And those who still desire to be in the public square are left wondering what a faithful presence could look like in today's world. You know, I understand how the world gets drawn into these things. But as Christians, shame on us. You know, I'm not saying we compromise our faith and agree with what everyone is saying, but we should not be looking like the world when we interact with the world. And we see this in the church, all kinds of divisions today. People mad at each other because they did this, they didn't do that. I mean, COVID, what an indicator of where the church was at, right? I mean, that just blew me away. I was shocked. I was disheartened by it. COVID brought division between family members within churches. Oh, you're not vaccinated, we're not coming. Oh, you were vaccinated, we're not coming. You can't win on that. Everyone was an expert, and if you didn't agree with them, you were deceived and you became their enemy. Oh, you're just following the protocol of society. Oh, you're just following this group of people. I actually had a pastor who said, if you receive the COVID shot, you're probably not going to be welcome in our church because you are going to be carrying COVID into the church and infecting everyone else. And I thought, well, that's Jesus, huh? I'm sorry, you can't come. You're a leper. You're a prostitute. You're whatever. You can't come. Do you see how something so... I'm not saying COVID was minor because people died. I mean, it was... My son worked in the ER in Madison, and it was horrible. The things he had to deal with on a daily basis in a full garb, working 8, 12, 16 hours a day. But come on, guys. Is this something to divide over? It's not. I guess I don't get it. I remember when AIDS came out, and I had just come up to the church. I was new here. And there was a family whose children, adopted children, the birth mother had AIDS, and they didn't know if the children had AIDS. So the big question was, do we allow them in the church? Of course we do. Of course we do. What is What are we thinking? No, we can't allow them in the church. Do we put protocol in effect? Yeah, just be careful. Be cautious. Be wise. Wear gloves if you have to wear gloves if you're dealing with material that could be contaminated with AIDS. Be wise. But why keep people out? I guess I don't get it. And, you know, here we are, what, a few years down the road with this whole COVID thing, and people are still fighting over what should be done to prevent the spread, or that too much was done and that was not right. And, you know, for me, I guess I nailed it because people are complaining to me about both things. You did too much. You didn't do enough. Okay. Right on. I'll give you an example. This is always a funny one to me that I can't really fix, but the temperature in the church. Oh, you all laugh because you know where I'm going. It's too cold in here. Angie's like, oh, yeah, it's really freezing back here. And there's the others are like, man, is it hot in here? Wow, I nailed it. I've got people that are too hot. I got people that are too cold. So somewhere in the middle, there's got to be people that are happy, right? I don't think everyone's on both ends. It's a tough one. I loved seeing when everyone, when we had to close the church down in the beginning when with COVID, we didn't know much about it. We knew how deadly it was. You know, yeah, there were people that are upset with that. But when we reopened, it was like a new day. People are hugging each other. It was just a wonderful, wonderful time. Why? Because we need fellowship. We need to gather together as a body of believers to worship God, to hear from God, to just be together. But the enemy loves to divide and conquer, even in the church. It's so interesting. I mean, I know God is God and he knows all things. But on the night before he's crucified, he's praying to the Father, right? In John 17, we'll be there in a few months probably, Lord willing. But in John 17, verses 20 through 26, listen to what Jesus is praying about. He could pray about anything, anything. But this is what was on his heart the night before he went to the cross. He said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. In other words, he's praying for us, that we are going to believe through the word that the disciples and the other disciples and other disciples have taught during the years. That we may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. That the word may, the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me. That they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you have loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. So the night before Jesus goes to Calvary, he's praying for believers to be one, to love each other. We can have disagreements. I wish all our disagreements years ago, before all the craziness with sports, with you guys being Packer fans and me being a Bear fan, we used to have fun with that. That was a good thing. There's no fun anymore in the things that we're dealing with. Like I said, with COVID, oh, you got the shot. That was horrible. You're going to die. You didn't get the shot. Oh, that's horrible. You're going to die. Who cares? We're all adults. I really don't come to you and say, you know, I'm thinking about getting the flu shot, or I think I'm going to see the doctor because of this. What do you think? No, I just go to the doctor because I'm an adult and I can pretty much do what I want. But again, now it's just sides and divisions. If Jesus is the one who unites us all together in the family of God, apart from him, there's no unity. And it's so important. You know, it's amazing. Again, Jesus in John 13 said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all will know that you are my disciples indeed, if you have love for one another. It's not about how much scripture you can quote. Is there love? that unconditional love, the agape love. And really, our love for each other is seen by the world. But again, there's all kinds of disagreements within the church, and these are true disagreements. Some of you have heard these before. The argument over the appropriate length of the worship pastor's beard. Let me see, Darren, you got a little hair there. It's getting pretty long. We're going to have to work on that. I don't even get that. Who cares, right? Who cares? A fight over which picture of Jesus to put in the foyer. Who took the picture? I mean, I want to know. A dispute whether the worship leader should have his shoes on during the service. I think so. I'm not picking on Darren here this morning. I guess I am. I don't know. Here's one. A dispute in the church because the Lord's Supper had cranned grape juice instead of grape juice. Yeah. Haven't you read Hezekiah 4:11? It's in there. Grape juice. Don't go looking for Hezekiah 4:11. There is no Hezekiah 4:11. Oh, my gosh. And on and on it goes. A dispute over, and these are real disputes over whether the church should allow people to wear black T-shirts since black is the color of the devil. I don't care what color T-shirt you wear. It doesn't matter. Guys, here's the thing. We are the evidence that the world is looking at on who our God is. And if we're fighting over all these silly things, what kind of evidence are we giving to people? Think about your family and friends. People get upset. Now, if you left the church because of false teaching, that's one thing. But if you're leaving the church because someone offended you, you're not going to find a church where you're not going to be offended. Someone's going to say something, do something that you're going to be offended by. Can you forgive? Can you let it go? I guess I don't get it. When your family and friends go, aren't you going to that church anymore? No, so-and-so did this or said this. Really, what kind of witness is that? So you're really not committed. You're just moving from place to place. And make no mistake about it, and the world doesn't have to do much here because we do a lot by shooting ourselves in the feet, but they're trying to destroy the evidence that's before them. They're saying our nation was never a Christian nation, like I said before. But we looked at the evidence. But isn't it amazing? You ask people today, were our founding fathers Christians? No, not at all. They came here to make money. Go read the things that they said. The world is trying to destroy the evidence of our faith by getting us to doubt the Bible. Guys, if we can't trust the Bible, then how can we trust Jesus? Jesus said, John 17:17, Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So he's a liar. If we can't trust his word, then he's a liar. Why would I trust Jesus? Do you see how good that is? Has God indeed said, the serpent said to Eve, and he's saying that today from many pulpits across America, from many Christian colleges across America. Has God indeed said, doubting the word of God. And lastly, like we saw this morning, destroying our witness as Christians. You know, we have to unite together in the work of Christ. Isn't this, it's a tremendous battle out there. But you know what? God doesn't need many. He just needs some to stand up with him, unite together for the gospel of Jesus Christ. General Colin Powell wrote this. He said, on the speech circuit, I tell a story that goes to the heart of America's longing. ABC correspondent Sam Donaldson was interviewing a young African-American soldier in a tank platoon on the eve of the battle in Desert Storm. Donaldson asked, how do you think the battle will go? Are you afraid? We'll do okay. We're well-trained, and I'm not afraid, the GI answered, gesturing towards his buddies around him. I'm not afraid because I'm with family. The other soldiers shouted, tell him again, he didn't hear you. The soldier repeated, this is my family, and we'll take care of each other. I want to leave you with this to think about. Can we leave here this morning saying, hey, this is my family, and we'll take care of each other because we are the evidence of God's love for sinful man, and we need to let others see us so they can see Jesus? And that's my prayer, that we can, that we will fulfill that prayer that Jesus made with his Father, that we would be one just as he and the Father are one. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for your word this morning and really these messages on destroying the evidence. Because just understanding what the world is trying to do to eliminate our witness, it boggles the mind. And it just shows me We have the truth. They just want to silence it. They don't want the evidence out there. Lord, give us a boldness to proclaim your word like we've never had before. And not just to proclaim your word, but to live your word. That when people see us, that they would see Jesus. As John the Baptist said, Lord, less of me and more of you in my life. And that's what I desire, Lord, more of you, that people would see Jesus in me. We love you so much, and we thank you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.